Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, August 3rd. Say it with me. Happy Resurrection Day. Lord, we do thank you for your resurrection, which signals that we too will be raised. Because it is Sunday, let us look to our new memory verse. It's Matthew 14, verse 19. It comes from Jesus feeding the 5,000, which Wayne will preach about today, or has preached about if you're listening to this later in the day. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. In the Gospel of Luke, this week we are reading about the Passion of our Lord and the week where he enters into Jerusalem and he is ultimately crucified. Today's reading is Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 23. In this passage, Judas agrees to betray Jesus, and then we read about the Last Supper. I'm reading in the old NIV this week, my beloved Bible that my parents gave me before I went to Mexico some 20-something years ago now, and it's the 84 version of the NIV. So if you have a newer, new international version, there may be a little updated language as the biblical scholars learn more information about the words and the usage. They may change the wording just a tad, but the sentiment is very much the same. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparation for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. As I read this passage, I had one thought. Luke is giving us the detail here that the Passover lamb needs to be sacrificed on that day. Look at verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And then when we read the details of the Last Supper, the lamb is not mentioned. Now, I don't know. Perhaps they did have lamb on that day. I'm sure they probably did. But maybe the fact that the lamb wasn't mentioned is purposeful, because we know that Jesus is the sacrificial lamb for all of our sins. Do you remember back to the Exodus? The people were to slaughter the lamb. And what were they to do with it? They were to brush it on the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over their house when the angel of death came with the last plague on the Egyptians because of Pharaoh's rejection of God. And for us, we, in a metaphorical way, right, or as a picture, paint the blood of Christ on ourselves. We are saved, we would say, by the blood of the Lamb. And that's a connection to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Also, you remember in John chapter 1, Jesus is called the Lamb of God. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then finally, in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, John reminds us that they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This is a picture of the cleansing righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when we remember Jesus' sacrifice, his body and his blood given for us in our Lord's Supper celebration, we celebrate the victory over death that Jesus has secured for us. As we read the psalm today, Psalm 22, 1 through 2, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever felt forsaken by God? Now I want to ask you another question. If you have felt that way, were you forsaken by God? I believe that Psalm 22 is David crying out in his apparent forsakenness. But as you see, we're not going to read it, but at the end of the psalm, we learn that, in fact, David was not forsaken. Instead, the Lord came to help him. And we know that because verse 22 says, I am going to read it actually. I will declare your name with my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2. This is pre-reflective thought from David. This is us crying out to the Lord when we are feeling forsaken. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Let us find hope in verse 24 of Psalm 22 that says, he has not despised or disdained the suffering of his afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. And let us hold in tension the difficult feelings, the suffering of this world and of our personal experience, with the hope that we have, knowing that the God of the universe cares for us. And so to end today, I want to pray a prayer in darkness from the Prayers from the Heart by Richard Foster. God, where are you? I beg, I plead, and you do not answer. I shout, I yell, and get nothing. Break your silence, O God. Speak to me. Teach me. Rebuke me. Strike me down. But do not remain silent. The God who is mute, is that who you are? You have revealed yourself as the speaking God, our communicating cosmos. You pointed Abraham to a city whose builder and maker was God. You revealed your divine name to Moses. You spoke with clarity to David, to Ruth, to Esther, to Isaiah, to Ezekiel, to Daniel, to Mary, to Paul, and a host of others. Why are the heavens made of iron for me? Job, I know, experienced you as the hidden God. And Elijah held a lonely vigil over earthquake, wind, and fire. Me too. O God of wonder and of mystery, teach me by means of your wondrous, terrible, loving, all-embracing silence. Amen.